We are in stewardship season. It is in full swing as we begin to dream and plan for 2025. And we survey all of the abundant blessings that God has given us and entrusted us with as a church and individually as a people. For God has blessed us all to be a blessing for others, for the world. And so this is a season where I invite you to pause and to pray, to really survey your life, to look at the ways God has blessed you, to see the abundance all around, and to ask God, what have you given me, entrusted me with, that can be a blessing for others? Lord, what might you call me to share all the gifts that you have given? This series is based on Ephesians 3, 14 through 21, where Paul first prays, and then he praises God. And I want to read that for you as we begin today. Paul writes, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." You always know when Paul has a "so that," you should pay attention. All of that is so that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Don't you yearn for that? That's the end of Paul's prayer, and now he turns to praise. He says, "Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Isn't that beautiful? To the one who, by the power at work within us, is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we could ask or imagine. Isn't that amazing? I mean, God created everything out of nothing. And yet, God works within us and is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we could ever ask or imagine. Paul doesn't praise God for accomplishing abundantly far more independently of the people that God created. Paul praises God that he would see fit to use us, you and I, to bring about abundance in this world. Do you see this? And yet we get discouraged, don't we? Because it's easy to see what we lack. It's easy to get discouraged when vision doesn't materialize in the way that we thought it would. It's discouraging when we had hoped for our own lives that we would be further along than we are right now, in a different place than we are right now. And then we get into the if onlys. Well, if only, God, I haven't had to deal with this illness. If only I'd gotten that promotion sooner. If only I hadn't gotten laid off. If only, if only, if only. But Paul reminds us here that God has given us abundance in every season, not just in those seasons when we feel like we're on the mountaintop, but seasons where we experience the valley as well. There is still abundance all around and within. What I love about Paul's prayer, and this is where we're camping out over these 4 weeks of October, is that Paul prays that the Spirit would stir within us, that we would be made strong, that we would be rooted and grounded in love so that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's Paul's prayer, so that we are ready for God to accomplish abundantly far more than we could ever ask or imagine. And so we're looking at those words. Last week we looked at what it meant to be strengthened in our inner being with power through the Holy Spirit. This week we're looking at what it means to have Christ dwelling in our hearts through faith, as we are being rooted in love, rooted in love. Roots do a couple of things for plants. They do many things. They anchor them into the ground, hold them steady, so that when the storms come and the waters rise, the tree can remain firmly rooted. They also draw up water and nutrients to nourish and feed the plant, whatever that might be. Now, we did see trees fall. I'm sure you've seen those videos in Florida. After the waters, the ground was already saturated from the hurricane before. Here comes another, and the soil around had weakened the rootedness of the trees, and they just blew over. We had seen that, too, prior to the hurricane here in Houston, in my own neighborhood. The rains we'd had earlier in the year made for loose soil, which made for weaker rootedness. We need to stay anchored in Christ, don't we? As Christ dwells in our hearts through faith, we stay rooted in love. What does that mean? That word love in the Greek is agape. It's the highest form of love. It's generosity and it's sacrifice. It's a giving away of oneself for the sake of others, for the sake of Christ, for the sake of others knowing Christ. So we stay rooted in agape as Christ dwells in our hearts through faith. And as we remain rooted in that love, being steadied, held firm and steadfast in that love, drawing nutrients and nourishment from that love, our hearts, our lives are prepared for God to do abundantly far more than all we could ask or imagine. So my question for you this morning as we begin is, where are you rooted today? Where are you rooted today? It's hard to answer that question on the surface just by looking down at the ground. So let's look up for a moment at the fruit your life is producing. How green are your leaves? Are they flourishing, healthy? Are they drooping a little bit? Are they bright green, orange, yellow, red as fall comes? Are they soggy and brown? How are your leaves? What is the fruit that is coming forth from your life? Is it the fruit of joy? Or is it the fruit of despair? Is it the fruit of encouragement or the fruit of discouragement? When you see the fruit that is coming forth from your life in your relationships, with the way in which you're open, with the way in which you share what God has entrusted to you, then you can see where your roots are buried. So we come back to the first question. Where are you rooted today? Are you rooted in agape, God's sacrificial love made known in Jesus Christ? Are you rooted in generosity, where the very life of our God flows forth from your own and people see Jesus at work within you? Are you more like a plant that hasn't been nourished or watered in a long time, that has withered and dried up? A couple of years ago, I had the opportunity with our church to travel to Israel, and we went to a place called En Gedi. En Gedi is near the Dead Sea, which, as you know, is the lowest point on planet Earth and one of the saltiest bodies of water on the planet. I think it's in the top five, and it's close to others that have a high salinity rate. It is a dry and desert land in southern Israel. All the landscape all around looks like this. It's limestone hills, not a place where there's a lot of growth. It's said that David, when he was on the run, sought refuge in En Gedi, in the caves in these hills. I was struck. We had come from Egypt through the southern border and crossed into Israel. We had spent some time at the Dead Sea, and it was mostly evaporated at that point. You could see the salt on the salt flats from where the water had evaporated and left the salt. But as we journeyed north a little ways, I started to see a row of trees. You can see this in the next picture. And that really stood out to me because the whole rest of the ground was just dry. There was no signs of life whatsoever. No fish could live in the Dead Sea itself. Even when human beings go into the water as we did, you float right up because the water just doesn't support much in the way of life. And So I was struck as we got off the bus and began to walk along the trail to see all of the green. And I began to wonder, well, why is there life here but not behind us or above us? And it turns out that there's a spring-fed waterfall which has created a river. And it's amazing to see there are millions of visitors who come to Engedi every year to splash in the spring-fed waters and to be refreshed. But it's amazing to see how life flows forth from this spring, rivers in the desert, and trees on both sides. I was amazed to see butterflies. There's one there that I was able to photograph. There were also birds that nested in the canopy of the trees. And I have a video I took. It's real hard to see because the butterflies are so small, but you can kind of see white. I zoomed in a little bit, but there are butterflies fluttering all around the trees and the water. They are there, just all over the place as we walked along this wooded trail. These trees were rooted in streams of water. Their leaves never ceased to be green, even with drought all around. This land produced the fruit for which God created it, supporting life. And this spring of life drew other life to it. Friends, this is the picture of what our lives should be. When we are rooted in agape, in Christ's sacrificial love, in generosity, our lives produce abundance. Our lives begin to draw other lives to Christ, where they too can come and be nourished and find a home. Together, we as the people of God in the church, when we all are rooted together in Christ's agape, his sacrificial love, we become a movement that draws in the city. And in us, people find the very life of Christ. This to me is a vision for the church, to be a place, a beacon of life and of hope and of joy, where others seeking something beyond their own situation begin to catch a greater vision for life than they've ever known. But church, we're at a place where we've got to embrace a vision of abundantly more. When we look around right now, we see the fruit of a vision that got us this far. We see a wonderful campus, almost 22 acres. We see these glorious buildings that we all sacrificed in many ways to build. We look across at an empty worship center that seats 2,200 people. And it's easy to get discouraged that we're in here and not across the way in there. But I'm here to tell you today that we need to embrace an abundance mindset. The vision that got us this far wasn't in vain. In fact, I would hold before you that God has placed us here for a purpose greater than we could have ever imagined when we were building these buildings and purchasing this property. We sacrificed over a long period of time to finance and pay off the debt on this land, on this site. I believe God has called us here. But we have to look beyond scarcity, beyond empty rooms to see possibility and potential. We have a whole space. How many churches would long to have the abundant resources that we ourselves have? I've been in church plants that have started out in facilities. We did too. You remember meeting in Paul Revere Elementary School and then the Adams Mark Hotel until that wasn't adequate anymore. And then in temporary buildings on our own land. Churches that are getting started long for the facilities and the resources that we have now. So what are we doing with it? What is our vision for abundance? Because remember, God is a God who can accomplish abundantly far more than what we could ever ask or imagine. So what is in the imagination of God for us? Right now in 2024, that's beyond what we can even imagine. There's a passage in Ezekiel that builds upon this image of En-Gedi. It's Ezekiel 47. It's one of my absolute favorite passages in the Old Testament. This prophecy comes at a time of exile, where the people of God are really discouraged. The whole land is decimated. It seems like their mission isn't moving forward anymore as a people. They wonder if God is finished with them. And so the prophet is given this vision. He says, come, walk around the temple. And the prophet notices that there's water flowing forth from the altar where the sacrifices are made. And the one walking him around says, take a measurement. And the water was ankle deep. And he says, walk a little bit further. And the water deepens a little bit more, and it's knee deep. And he says, come on and walk some more. And it's waist deep. And then he walks even further, and he's now swimming in this fresh water that's flowing forth from the temple. And listen to the picture that comes about this. People will stand fishing beside the sea from En-Gedi to En-Eglaim. It will be a place for the spreading of nets. Its fish will be of great many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. On the banks of both sides of this river flowing from the temple, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail, but they will bear fresh fruit every month, because the water from them flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing. Isn't that beautiful? I wonder if the waters of life might flow forth from our temple here on West Park Drive. And as it touches these city streets and these homes and businesses all around, I wonder if trees might not spring up with green leaves and fruits that never is out of season, where those leaves are for the healing of marriages and broken relationships and economic systems and all of the things that prevent human flourishing. What if we were able to be a part of that vision? Yesterday, at the request of Tiffany Thomas, the councilwoman who's a part of District F overseeing this area and a former staff member here at our West Chase campus, hosted a faith and affordable housing summit right over there in Stansbury. And she invited me to give the opening comments. And we had pastors from area churches, developers, finance professionals, all seeking to answer the question, how can we bring about a vision that allows people to stay in place, to build equity in their own home, and to live near the places where they work and worship? And it was a wonderful and glorious day, one that I think will continue to bear fruit in months and years to come as we look at how can we build a more just and beautiful and more functioning city. The church is at the very center of that, dear friends. You see abundance? Do you see potential and possibility? But we got to shift our gaze. Rather than looking at an empty room, we need to look at an abundant mission field. Jesus said the fields are ripe for the harvest. We just need laborers to go into the fields in order to connect with the people who live there. There's not scarcity, there's abundance. Jeremiah has a vision for the city. He says in Jeremiah 29, seek the welfare of the city that you are in, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. And so this series, Abundantly More, hauls us to the city. Rather than being a place that just expects to attract people, we're going to become attractional people who go out to where the people are already living and working and playing. And we're going to meet them with a vision of life as we are rooted in agape, in God's love. And this is how we're going to do it. We have a vision that we'll be launching soon of small groups that will gather in neighborhoods and homes all across our city. And these are going to be groups that are going to be about half of people who are part of the church and half of people that you're going to invite who aren't part of the church. They're going to be people who live in your neighborhoods all around. And we're going to shift the entry point of the church from worship, which will always be ready to welcome anybody who walks through the doors and get them plugged in, but we're going to shift it to community in small groups in our homes and to service by creating hands-on opportunities that we would be proud to invite people who are seeking to make a difference in their city to participate in. That's how we're going to begin to live out this abundantly more vision. And then we're going to gather as a church of small groups serving the community in worship and invite those people we're connecting with in the community to join us as we join hands and hearts in praying for our community and praising God and in seeking God's direction together. That's how we're going to grow a movement that's going to bring about this vision of abundantly more. I want to leave us with this image. Fall, autumn, it's my favorite season. Love it. We don't see a lot of fall color here. We see a little bit, and I'm always grateful. Like, hey, look, there's a yellow leaf, right? Before it turns brown and just gives up and falls off the tree. But what I love about this image, and we picked it before the Hurricane Helene hit the North Carolina mountains, which is a place that's near and dear to my heart. I think about the potential that lies beneath the surface of the trees most of the year. You know, in winter, trees that aren't evergreen just are barren. There's a bunch of sticks in the air. And in the springtime and in the summer, the leaves are green. And I find myself, I love to hike. And as I hike, I walk around and I wonder, what color is that leaf really? Beneath the chlorophyll that's flowing through it right now in this season, is it yellow? Is it red? Is it bright orange? Is it something in between? What will God reveal to us in its season? And that's why I love autumn, because we see God's abundance at work. God didn't have to hide other colors beneath the green, but he did. Why? Because of God's abundant, extravagant creativity and generosity and love, that he would give us a season where we see something that has been there all along, but is right beneath our perception most of the year. You see that? I feel like that's where we are as a church, that God has brought us this far, but there's something that we haven't yet been able to imagine. It's been there all along, but in due season, which is coming, God is revealing to us what is next. Do you see it? Can you perceive it? It's hard to leave behind a past that felt so full and abundant, and to look at the ways the world and the church has changed, and to even look beyond what has been to what will be. But we can move into the future together unafraid as we allow God to strengthen us with power through the Holy Spirit in our inner being, as our hearts are filled with faith in Christ, and as we remain rooted together in Christ's love.